Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Well, for those of you who have been around for any amount of time, you know that as a parish, we preach in message series week after week. We take a topic, and over a series of weeks, we dig down deep into that topic. And we had long planned a very specific message series for the season of Lent. But like so many plans in the midst of this current situation, it did not seem to make much sense to continue with our previous plan. And so instead, over the next few weeks, we are going to reflect together on the crisis, specifically our place in this crisis. To prepare for this message, I looked up the definition of crisis, and I was interesting to learn that there are several definitions for the word crisis. The first definition is a turning point at a specific time in our lives. The second definition is a decisive moment or decision. And the third is an emotionally significant event. Emotionally significant event that introduces radical change. Well, all three of those definitions describe this situation that we're in right now. And while we should look at this situation as a season, because it doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon, we should look at this situation as a season and not just a moment. For all of us, there was a moment. There was a moment when the coronavirus moved from a vague, distant threat on a distant shore to something up close, personal, and very real. When the crisis became real for you. Maybe it was the canceling of the NBA, or the closing of schools, or the shuttering of restaurants and bars. For some, this became real with some inconvenience, some loss of a pastime or pleasure. It's inconvenient and annoying and disappointing. For others, it is more. High school and college seniors are losing their long-awaited final semester with prom and graduation. There are brides currently wondering what to do about their weddings. Business owners surely worried about their small businesses. For still others, though, this crisis might be bringing the loss of even more, like income, investments, or jobs. And if you're a medical worker, it became clear that your life and work was going to change dramatically. And I'd like to pause here to thank everyone in the medical field who are working long and hard during this difficult time. Of course, beyond what we've lost or already experienced, there's the threat of the disease itself, And we have no idea what that will look like. We're left feeling confused, concerned, anxious and upset, isolated and alone, bewildered, bored. But beyond feelings, there is a fact. The crisis presents a choice. The crisis demands a choice on our part. We will go through it, and eventually it will come to an end. We have no choice about that. Our choice is what we will be on the other side of this crisis. We might not be able to control that in terms of our finances or our schedules or even our jobs, but it's completely our choice when it comes to our character and our core. We can be stronger or weaker, emotionally robust or emotionally frail, generous or selfish. God has placed you in this time and circumstance for a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, to help us understand a little bit more, we're going to look briefly at a passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul lived in Ephesus for 3 years, and later, when he was in Rome, he wrote to the church, to the Christians there. Paul was in Rome in prison, so he had a bit of a crisis situation himself to deal with. And in the midst of his own crisis, here's what Paul wrote. Look carefully then at how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Be reflective and thoughtful about how you live your life and use your time. Make the most of your time. He says the days are evil. What's that supposed to mean? Well, Paul is just warning us that if we're not intentional, our days will take us to all kinds of places and situations that are not helpful, that are not in our best interest. The evil comes in different forms. It might be worry or anxiety, or endless speculation about when this will come to an end or what the stock market will do next. The days can have a tendency to lead us to waste our time in emotions that don't accomplish anything but wear us out. A crisis can actually make us more selfish and self-centered, focusing on ourselves, but it can be productive on the other hand. Think about it. Paul was stranded in prison, and I'm sure he was worried and wondered about his future. How could he not? But he also used that time to write part of what we now know as the Bible. Paul continues, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." What the will of the Lord is. God wants to use all the time in your life, including this time, for a purpose. Your job and mine is to learn more about what that purpose is. I don't know what God's purpose is for you during this time. God might be using this time to give you a Sabbath. You've been running around so hard for so long in so many different directions and living such a busy lifestyle, and now God is forcing you to slow down. God might be using this time to help you reconnect with friends and family. Your kids and spouse are all together now, all the time, and if you don't end up killing one another, you'll probably grow closer. God might be using this time for you to do some definite service or work of charity for someone else, someone in need. Or perhaps this is a time of preparation for you. God is preparing you for your next chapter, and it will include personal enrichment, reflection, and renewal, a time for learning a new skill or mastering an old one. God has a will, a plan, and a purpose for you in this time. So, How do we come to understand it? How do we come to understand it better? Well, three suggestions I'd like to make today. First one, make a schedule. Make a schedule for how you are going to use this time during the quarantine. It's a question of creating a normal for yourself amid the new normal. What is your normal now in the new normal? Take this new time to create a new schedule. Write out an ideal week. In an ideal week, you plan how, ideally, you're going to use your time. This is a great practice anytime, but especially needed at this time. Your work time and workout time, your leisure and family time. Schedule time to check news and social media and make sure you're disciplined about that time so it's not consuming all your time. Maybe you'll have to adapt some new habits to support your schedule. For example, one blogger this week wrote how he had been working at home for years. He gets ready for work in the morning as if he was going to leave the house. He showers, shaves, gets dressed for work. He has a specific workstation that's only for work. Simple habits that put him in a work mindset that's different than a just hang out at home kind of mindset. Teenagers, college students, younger students too, you're all homeschooling these days. What are the new habits that you could adopt? Number two, stay connected. Stay connected. This is obviously true for people like me who live alone, but also true for everyone to some degree or another. How are we staying connected? How are we being deliberate about our connections with friends and family? And I'll go ahead and make a plug for our small group program, which is more helpful and more needed now than ever. Our small groups are our delivery system for member care. They are the place where you can find support through and beyond this crisis. If you're not in a group, you can join a group anytime online. Just check it out at our website. Go to Next Steps and then Small Groups and then Group Finder. Whether you're new to a group or already have a group, Susan Aldridge, our small group director, has put together specific resources in view of this crisis. Don't miss out on the significant support your church can give you at this time. Third step is the most important step, personal prayer. That's Paul's advice to the Ephesians. He said, "You were once in darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Paul reminds the Ephesians of their identity. They are children of the light. They are to be God's light in a dark world. But to be light, you've got to learn what is pleasing to God and understanding God's will is a learning process. There's a temptation for us to want to know everything that will happen in the days ahead. We want God to download the whole plan of what we should do now and what we should do next. But that's not how God works. And it's not how the world works either. We need to come to Him consistently and continually, daily, and throughout the day in prayer. God is still in control. His will for you is good, not evil. If you're turning to Him in prayer consistently and continually, daily and throughout the day, He can provide not only care and comfort, but insight into a way forward. Insight into your way forward. God is working in this situation for your good. God is working in this situation for your growth. The virus has our attention, that's for sure. But if we keep our attention fixed only on what we don't have, what we've lost, what we can't do, we might miss out on what God is doing. Don't waste a crisis, because it's also an opportunity.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.